bottom of.
Okay. Rav Huna Amar Mehacha. Rav Huna says that we know that the Aron was only 10 fucking tall from a different source, right? Al Pnei HaKaporis Kedma. Right? So, what is being referred to as Al Pnei HaKaporis Kedma?
The Mizgeret.
Yes.
No. Tofach. I'm just saying out random words from the
Kruvim are Al Pnei HaKaporis Kedma. Okay.
Eventually, if I would have carried on.
Ve'ein panim pachis mitachach, but it says al pnei hakaparis kedma. It happens to be panim. We have a rule apparently that it's never less than a tefach. By the word panim means has to mean at least a tefach. So that means that porus must be at least a tefach, right?
What about like panim al panim? Does that mean their faces were a tefach?
No, al pnei means.
Oh, al pnei.
Ve'ema ke'ape davar yuchani. Ke'ape davar yuchani. So maybe we're talking about much more. Maybe like we're talking about the face of a bird, which is like enormous, much more than tefach. Right? Maybe that's what it means. No, tefasim rubel tefas tefasim uat tefas. Right. Remember this rule, tefasim u'ayim rubel tefasta. Basically, you want to say the smallest possible thing you can say. Right? You want to say the smallest chiddush you can say. Right? So it's the same thing here. You're not going to assume it's any bigger than the minimum that that word implies. That word implies a minimum of a tefach, therefore you're going to assume a tefach. Okay? Ve'ema ke'api tzipparta dezuta tuva. Maybe it's like the face of a very small bird, which is a lot smaller than tefach. How do you know a tefach is actually the minimum? Right? Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Rav Huna Pnei Gamar Ksiv Hacha El Pnei Akaparis Ksiv Hasa Meis Pnei Yitzchak Aviv Benef Mipanem Shel Maila Dichsiv Kir Ois Pnei Elohim Vatirtzeni. I'm sorry, Kir Ois Uchsiv Hasa Meis Pnei Yitzchak Aviv. Basically, you learn the Gzera Shava, right? It says El Pnei Akaparis Kedma to describe the what it is. Right, and then me'eis pnei Yitzchak Aviv. So the pnei Yitzchak, the panim of Yitzchak. Therefore, they're saying a human face is about tefach, right? And so that's the measure. I'm not certain exactly how this measurement is being adopted. Maybe it's like this, the width from the ear or something. I'm not sure. Does Rashi have any comments about that? No.
Maybe they had smaller faces those days.
Maybe. I don't know. Just a minute.
Evolution.
Rashi doesn't explain exactly. I mean, it's the human face, but they're not describing. Rashi's not describing exactly how I find. V'neilev mi panim shel maila. Maybe you'll learn it from the panim shel maila, right? Because the pasuk in Vayishlach says, right? Ki oris pnei Elohim vatirtzeini. What is it, who said that and to whom? Yeah, I already gave you a hint.
Yaakov to Esav.
Very good. So that was this is the point where many were trying to say that Yaakov should not have said this to Esav, right? Because Yaakov was basically sucking up to Esav, so that Esav would not kill him. Right? So, right, Kyoto, maybe you're talking about the face of God, which is presumably when you see an image of the face of God, it's going to be relatively large, it's going to be bigger. Right? Tafasim rubbly, tafasim more, tafasim the same thing. You don't want to say more than the minimum.
How did we decide we weren't using the small bird?
Because it's we learned a Gzereshava from the face of the Pnei Akpurus to Pnei Yitzchak, so it has to be a human face.
Yeah.
Okay. V'neilev mikruvim, maybe you should learn it from the kruvim. Dichsiv el hakapurus yu pnei akruvim. Right? Maybe you'll learn it from the actual face of the kruvim themselves. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Gmiri Eim Pnei Kruvim Chusim Mitevach. Rav Yaakov says, that's fine. We have a tradition that the kruvim as well have a face similar to a person. It's not less than a tefach. V'Rav Huna Nami Mehacha Gamir Rav Huna could also have learned it from there. Umay kruv. What is a kruv? What exactly is a kruv? Was the question, right?
It's a cherub.
Sorry? That was a very helpful translation. Okay, I'm a Ravi Avahu Keravia. Right? What's Keravia? What does that word mean in Aramaic?
La Keravia.
Sorry?
La Keravia.
No. Means a baby.
Oh, and that's why all the cherubs are babies with funny wings.
So the truth is, Rav Bazak and Rav Moshe and Rav Midan have all made the same point on separate occasions, that Pshuto Shel Mikra, a kruv, probably is a bull.
Bull?
Yeah. How, why? Why would that be true?
Hey?
Why do you think that would be true?
I would have thought it would be cabbage.
Why would it be a bull? Because the Yechezkel Perek Aleph describes the Chayes, right?
Oh,
the
Chayes
has four faces, including the face of a
bull.
Two giant
bull, right?
Neshor.
Yeah. And then in Perek Yud, the Chayes are described again, except for instead of a Pnei Shor, it says Pnei Krov.
Yeah, Rabbi, article footnote there said that you shouldn't worry too much about the differences between the descriptions of the Kruvim, so I just didn't worry.
Uh-huh. Okay. That was well done, that was. Okay.
I didn't try to understand it.
Fine. I don't sympathize with that approach at all, but it's all good. Right? Veravun. Okay, so it says, right, Shechein Bevel Karim Yinoka Ravya, because in Bevel we call a baby, a Yinoka, Ravya, right? Therefore, Ke Ravya, Kruv, sounds like Ke Ravya.
Is that why, though, that all, like, non-Jewish things of a Kruv have a baby's face?
I'm actually not sure. It's an interesting thing.
Is this the Makor for them?
I don't know. Maybe it might have gone the other way around, too. Not sure.
And so actually on the
there's no question. It's literally explicit in the Gemara and Shabbos. They were having interreligious debates in Bavel, so it might be.
So it could be that
it might be that they got the idea from the Goyim. I don't know.
So that means on the Aaron there are two bulls.
I said that Pashas Pshuto Shel Mikra. I'm not saying that Chazal got it wrong. That's not not the way that they think. Okay.
Maybe Heskel was just confused.
It's very unlikely. Amarle Abaye Elame Atadiksiv Pneha Echa Pneha Kruv Pneha Sheni Pneha Adam Hainu Kruv Hainu Adam. So it says Abaye says, shouldn't you learn it from here? Pneha Echa Pneha Kruv. Where is this from?
Yechezkel.
Very good. Yechezkel, very good. Right. Pneha Sheni Pneha Adam. So that Pneha Adam Hainu Kruv Hainu Adam. So wouldn't that tell you that for some reason there's two faces, one of them a human? Ape Rav Rave Veape Zutra. So the point, so he said, the response was no. One of the faces was an adult face, and one of the faces that's Pnei Adam, and one of the faces was a baby face that was Pnei Krov. That's how they're learning that Perek in Yechezkel. Umay Dechalala Sara Bar Mischacha Eima Behad Yischacha. Right, and how, wait, but so it says the Gemara. There's a problem with, so far, for the last amud and a half, we've been assuming, we've said that the reason why you can't have a sukkah which is less than 10 tachin tall is what? What's the reason?
Because Hashem can't get
because the Shekhinah, we know that Shekhinah never went close to the ground in 10 tachin. Why? Because he was on the kaparos, and that was the closest he got to the ground. And therefore, and since the sukkah can't be actually piled on the ground, it has to be, you know, a structure built on the ground, it can't be less than 10 tachin, it has to be sort of in the air. Right? That was the idea. What's the problem? Says the Gemara, I don't understand. If that's true, then that would include the sukkah. That would teach us that the entire height of the sukkah, including the sach, will not be less than 10 tefachim. It wouldn't teach us that the sach itself had to be 10 tefachim above the ground, which is what the Mishnah explicitly said. No?
Can you repeat that?
That if that were true, then the sach would be within 10 tefachim on the ground as well.
So, i.e., if the sach was over 10 tefachim?
It would mean that the sum total. No, it would mean that the sum. That the sukkah would be kosher as long as the sum total height of the sukkah, including the sach, was 10 tefachim.
But maybe you want the same in your sukkah and not just chilling on the sach.
Hashem doesn't come into the 10 tefachim, that'd be a challenge then. That'd be a challenge. You'll have to decorate that sukkah, because Hashem's not there. Okay. Fine. Sorry? That wasn't a Gemara joke, that was a Chabad joke. Anyway, apparently you were the only one who got it. But
I didn't understand this.
Oh, you didn't understand
no,
it?
No, I didn't know
this. It's totally wasted. Chabad have a minhag not to decorate their sukkahs because Hashem's presence is there and so it doesn't need any decoration. Okay.
That's enough.
Fine. This is the limud, because if that was the limud, then the tzach would also be within 10 tefachim of the ground, and we know that that's actually possible, right? That was an explicit moral earlier on, and it's implied clearly by the Mishnah, right? So it says, Elam mibeis alamim gamar rather, we learned that from the Beis HaMikdash, dichziv ve'abayis asher banam el shalom el Hashem, shishim ama arkoi ve'shishim arach ba'amoy, ve'rishich shishim ama roch ba.
So we've changed where
we've
learned it from.
Shishim ha'ra koi ve'esrim ha'ra rochboi, u'shleshim ha'ma koimasa yuchsiv, koimasa karuv ha'echad, eser ba'amo, v'chein ha'karuv ha'sheini. Right? Yes, we're changing ha'ma. Correct. So it says, right, that the pasuk in... Is it the pasuk in Melachim or the pasuk in Divrei Hayyamim? I don't remember. In Melachim. Right? The house, the Beis Mikdash, which Shlomo HaMelech built, was 60 by 20 and 30, was 60 by 20 amos, no, 30 amos tall, right? Luchziv, and we have another possible letters, that each kruv was 10 amos tall, the sanya, and we have a brighter, ma'amat sinum b'beis elamim kruvim b'shlish habayis hein omdim mishkanami kruvim b'shlish habayis hein omdim. And we have a brighter, just like the kruvim were a third of the height of the Beis HaMikdash. Right, the kruvim were 10 amos tall, and the Beis HaMikdash itself was only 30 amos tall, and the kruvim were a third of the height of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Sorry?
30 amos of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, and the kruvim were 10 amos tall. Therefore, the kruvim are a third of the height of the Beis HaMikdash. So too, it must be in the Mishkan, the kruvim were a third of the height of the Mishkan, right? That's a brighter.
Wait,
so the proportions were the same. The proportions were the same. I'm sorry.
It's 5 meters tall.
3 to 5. Yeah.
This is enormous.
Mishkan kamaha. How tall was the Mishkan? Eser amos. Dichsiv eser amos arech hakeresh. Because how do we know that the Mishkan was 10 amos tall? Because the walls of the Mishkan were composed of what? What were they composed of? Everybody remembers parshas from Mitzvah, I assume. What?
Skins.
No, the walls, not the roof.
Beams.
Yes, beams. And how were the beams aligned? They were standing, right? And they were standing right next to each other, and then there were holes that ran through the beams to make them actually stick together. Yeah? That's what Chumash describes. And Machlokes is showing exactly how the holes went through the beams. But that's what Chumash describes. Right? So, right, these beams, and how tall were these beams? Well, the Pasuk tells us 10 amos. Therefore, the Mishkan must have been 10 amos tall. Kama have lehu shisin pushchi. Therefore, how tall were the kashim in tefachim? There must have been 60 tefachim, 6 tefachim to an amah. Right?
Hang on. The kruvim were 10 amos tall
in the mikdash. So that means that the beams were 60 tefachim tall. If they were 10 amos, 60 tefachim, right? Class A kama habe. How much was a third of that? 20 tefachim, right? Dal asara de aron v'kaporos. Now we know that the aron, we've already proved conclusively the aron and kaporos were 10 tefachim tall, right? Pashluhu asara, right? Then that means that there were 10 tefachim left for the kruvim, right? Uchziv ayu hakruvim porosek nafayin lemaila tzichachim bechanfehem al kaporos. And we said the kruvim were spread their wings up, right, to shade over the kaporos. That's what the pasuk describes. That tzichachim means shade, right? Therefore, the kruvim were 10 tefachim tall, and they provided shade for the kaporos. Everybody should be able to work out the shape of the limud now.
So tzach.
Very good. Right, tzach is similar to tzach.
So now the tzach included in the 10 tefachim.
No, so that means the tzach would be right at the top of the 10 tefachim. Right, the tzach is like right at the top of the 10 tefachim, that would be
but
okay.
But included within?
No, like immediately above. as in 10 tefachim below, because the wings were exactly 10 tefachim above. I'm sorry? No, we learned it originally from the Aaron, now we're learning it from the Krovim. It's not the same level.
Wait, so the schach's above the 10 tefachim?
Just above. That's the minimum share for a kosher sukkah. It can be taller than that, but that's the minimum share. I'm sorry? Well, no, since it's called schach, the idea is the kari soda and the gemara continues. The kari rachamana schach alemaila me'asara. So the Torah only calls it schach if it's at least 10 tefachim tall. Right? If it's not 10 tefachim above, then it's not called schach.
So the grand total of the sukkah has to be 10 point something tefachim.
10 points, like that, right? Just above 10.
10 points, schach, schach.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Mimai de garfin hu ilu reshai hu kaimhu. Kaimhi dilma leha de reshai hu kaimhi. So it says, the Gemara, but wait, how do you know that the wings were above their heads? Maybe their wings were level with their heads? Why is that a problem? Oh, then it would be, then you would be, if that were true, if the wings were at level with the head, and the head was 10 tefachim tall, then the wings would not be above the 10 tefachim, they would be within the 10 tefachim. In which case it also wouldn't work as a limud. Right? That's the question. Everybody follow the problem? Okay. Amarav Acha Bar Yaakov Lemailaksiv. It says up. It says they were above. So above usually means like you raise it, like when you raise your arms, you raise it above your head. Right? The Ema de Midli Tuva. Right, maybe they were much taller than that. How do you know they stopped at 10 tefachim? Right? So it says it doesn't say they were way up. It says they were just up, so they were exactly 10 tefachim above. But they were shading over 10 tefachim. Okay. Hanicha le Rabbi Meir, this makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Meir, Damar, Kol ha'umais hayu beinonies. Kol ha'umais hayu beinonies. This makes sense for Rabbi Meir, who says that all the amais in the Mikdash were beinonies. They were regular amais. Ela le Rabbi Yehuda, but for Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, who said, Am shel binyan shisha tefachim v'shel kelechem chemisha, mai ika le meimar. Rabbi Yehuda has a shita that when we're measuring the Mikdash, so it's true that when we're talking about the building, an Amma was 6 tefachim. But the Kalim were measured with an Amma of 5 tefachim.
Why would they do that? Like, what leads him to conclude that shit?
What was the limud again?
Very good reasoning.
Yeah, I mean, she's got very good reasoning.
It was a drasha from Yechezkel. I don't remember now. What was the drasha she said?
Okay, I just pulled them as tenants.
It's fine. I'm sure Rabbi Yehuda had very, very good logic.
No, there's a drasha from Yechezkel about it.
Generally, Amoraim don't make Otanaim don't make claims that they can't back up.
Yeah, whatever. It was complicated. I don't remember the details of it now. It was a drasha. Okay, so fine. So Rabbi Yehuda had that particular shita. So it says Arma Kaparis Kamahabi Lahu. So then it says, Michael Amimer, so how's this going to work? This isn't going to work for Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda would 10 amos for Rabbi Yehuda, 10 amos for, I mean, if they're not going to fit, it's not going to fit quite as neatly anymore. Even if you say the Kruvim are 10 amos tall versus 30 amos, they're not a third of the height, right? Because there are only 50 tefachim in them, right? And the Mikdash itself would be, well, 30 by 6, which is how much?
180.
Very good, 180 tefachim. Right, therefore 50 above 50, 150 over 180 is not a third.
Correct.
Okay, so that was the question. Okay, so Aaron v'Kapuris kama havilehu tamanyo palga. That implies that the Aaron and the Kapuris were really 8.5 amos when compared to the Mikdash itself, if we were talking the same type of armor. Right? Pashalahu chadzari palga, and there's 11.5 amos left. Zeima sukkah Dehavia cha tsari. Oh, sorry. Tamia pelda ein a half tfachim. That will make the Aaron Kapura, sorry, ein a half tfachim. Wait. Sorry. I confused myself with the math. Just a minute. Where is Kama Hafid? Anya. Oh, oh, in that case, the Aron would only be 8.5 tfachim tall, because it's remember, the Aron was 1.5 ames tall, which means to get to 20 tfachim, is a third of 60, they would then have to have 11.5 left. We're still assuming the Kruvim were a third of the height of the Mikdash. And therefore, there would be the Kruvim are 11.5 amos. And in that case, if we were to learn from the Kruvim, then you would learn that the Sukkah has to be at least 11.5 amos tall, not at least 10 tfachim tall. 11.5 tfachim, sorry, not 11.5 amos. Right? Cool. 11.5 at least, right? Which is not what we passed in, so it's a problem. Ella, rather, la Rabbi Yehuda ilchasak mirila. Rabbi Yehuda says it's just a tradition that we have. Rashi is going to say halacha l'meishu b'sinai hilchasak mirila. Rashi always thinks means halacha l'meishu b'sinai that the sukkah is at least 10 tfachim tall, right? There's a famous kasha on the Rambam in Akdama to the Pirush Mishnayos has a list of all of the halachas of l'meishu b'sinai. So we know there are lots of halachas of l'meishu b'sinai, right? This is only one of them. Right, there's lots of others.
It didn't take him quite a while to go through the whole Shas and write them down.
It's not great. The Rambam's list is about the third of the size that it should be. He only has about a third of the halachos mishnayos that we know exist. So the person who dealt with this was the Netziv. Netziv has basically three separate hakdamos to his sefer on the Shilta. It's called the Haamek Sheila. Whichever particular pronunciation you want, people use all three. Right? I and Shaman, the introduction, if you want to know which one he wanted, it's pretty clear. Anyway, so the Siv pointed out that what was going on there is the Rambam didn't think the words Hilchasak Mirila means Halacha Mesh Misyanai. He just thinks it means a very old tradition. We don't know its origin. Right. What academics would call a self-validating tradition. It's so old that we think it's probably true, but we don't know where it comes from. I'm sorry? Who's wrong? Different opinion about how to learn these words. I don't think he's necessarily wrong. It's just people have gotten so used to reading the Gemara with Rashi that when Rashi said Hilchasa Mirala means Halacha Mesh Misyanai, people just assume that's what it means. The Rambam didn't think that's what it means. Right?
What do you pass?
And you can ask on that sort of question. But anyway, so right, there's a question in Machlokes Rashi Rambam if this is a halacha l'meishu b'sinai or merely a very old tradition. What would the nafka mina be?
I don't know, like if it. I don't know, Shabbos or something, you need to get around it. Is there not more of a strength in halacha l'meishu b'sinai as opposed to just a.
I mean, the statement that it's a very, very old tradition, but I don't know exactly where it comes from.
But surely the next line.
This din is clearly Doraisa, right? When we say the Sukkah is possible at less than 10 tfachim, it's clearly a din Doraisa. I don't think it's reasonable to read these Mishnayos and Gemaras. I assume that's only a din Darabanan. So I'm not certain that it's gonna matter what's the exact source for it.
But surely the continuation of the Gemara proves the connection between that phrase and halacha, Moshe Nisya.
Interesting. Hadn't thought about that. I guess where Rashi gets from. It's a good question. Shpech. So it says, and then it says, "Damar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav Shirun Chatzitzin veMechitzin Halacha leMoshe Misinai." So, because we have a statement from Rabbi Chiya bar, the son of Ashi, the name of Rav Shiurin, meaning all Shiurim. Right, Shiur, Kelayis, Kebeta, Kechoyseves, right, Arivir, Samaloig, all the different Shurim that we have are Halach L'Mesh Mesinai, right? and chatzitzin, the fact that a chatzitza is poisel in tefillah, halacha l'moshe meisinai, that's the machlokes tanaim, I'm not getting into it right now. Or mechitzin, hilchos mechitza, meaning what constitutes a wall. Remember I said that a lot of this masechta is going to be about how many weird walls can you build, right? Or how many not walls can you say are really walls? So for example,
there's a shortage of wood in that time.
Absolutely, right? So in that, so the, those things are all, these definitions are all halacha l'moshe meisinai. Right? So it says, and then the Gemara says, and then the Gemara says, Shiurim da'oraisa mina. No, Shiurim are min ha-Torah. What would be the limit for Shiurim? Does anybody know? Has anybody here learned Gemara Brachos? Very good. So the Gemara.
What's the answer?
It's good, he knows the answer.
What's the answer?
He, the pasuk says, the pasuk describes Eretz Yisrael as being a land of wheat and barley and vines and figs and pomegranates, a land of oil olives, specifically oil olives, right? And dvash. What's dvash? Date tani, right? The Amar Rav Chanin, kol ha-pasuk hazeh le-shiurin ne'emar. The reason for this pasuk is to teach us shiurin, right? The point is that they praise Eretz Yisrael by using, by saying all of the halachos that basically rely on things that are found in Eretz Yisrael. What?
That's such an intellectual praise.
It's very, it's, this much of, all of this Torah is dependent on Eretz Yisrael.
Oh.
It's very great praise. Right? So it says Chita lebayis ha-menuga. Chita is lebayis ha-menuga. What does Chita is lebayis ha-menuga? This is as we say in a Mishnah. Hanichon lebayis ha-menuga v'keilav al-kzeifa v'sandala v'tabayis ha-biyadoi hu v'hein t'mein miyad. If somebody comes into a house which is menuga, meaning a house which has gotten tzara'as, right? The pasuk in, excuse me, Tazria describes how buildings also can get tzara'as, right? People can get tzara'as, the gadim, clothes can get tzara'as, assuming they're made from either wool or linen, and houses can get tzara'as, right? So if you go into a house which has tzara'as, right, and you have your clothes on, and you have rings on, like some jewelry on your hand, and you have, and you're wearing your shoes, everything that you are, both you and everything you are wearing, is immediately tame. Right? And it says, Hayalavu Shkela Vesandala Veragla Vetabaisov Veetzbaisov. Sorry, you weren't wearing your clothes, you were carrying clothes on your shoulder. Right? You were carrying all these things, you weren't actually wearing them. You were carrying your clothes, and you were carrying your shoes, and you were carrying your jewelry. Right? Everything's Tommy Amili. If you were wearing your clothes, and you were wearing your shoes, and your rings were on your fingers, Hutayad, you are Tommy Amili. Right, and they, all the things that you are wearing are tahor until you have waited in the, until you've spent at the shir, what's called a chilas pras, right, in the house, right, the time it takes to eat a pras, a certain quantity of food, right, in the house, pas chitin velo pas oren, and it has to be of wheat bread and not barley bread, meaning nice bread, meisiv ve'oichel ve'liftan, and enough to like dip it into something, so enough to basically sit down with your nice white bread and like spread some hummus on it and then eat it. That's how long it takes for clothes to become tummy if you're wearing them. Okay,
you can tell you've been living in